So I want to run through a few slides that sort of kind of underlay these strategies that we're talking about. I should also say we call this rounds because there's no beginning or end to it. You know, we're going to talk about some stuff today. Hopefully you'll pick some stuff up that'll help you with patients, but we could easily spend like all day going through this stuff. And, you know, it's just a little bit of a tasting menu. And so Virginia, I'd say this is one of the most exciting trials that ever has come out in breast cancer. This came out at the San Antonio meeting, not this past one, but the one before, a big randomized study where they compared T-DM1 to trastuzumab, and these were people who had neoadjuvant therapy and still had residual disease. Virginia, can you talk a little bit about what the risk is of recurrence in a patient? Joyce was saying 60, 70% of patients, or certainly more than half, will have path CR. They have a cancer. Maybe it's in the axilla, they go to surgery, nothing is found. So that's the typical situation. But for those patients compared to people who have residual disease, Virginia, how much of a risk is it that they will develop metastatic disease and death?
The risk increases substantially, and it depends on how much residual disease they have as well. But if you have a PCR, the thought is that 15 to 25% of these patients may actually recur, their cancers may recur. But if you do have residual disease, that may increase to 40 to even 80% depending on the magnitude of the residual disease.
So if we take a look at the study to see, you know, we're not going to show a lot of curves, but we're going to show some of the ones that are most dramatic. And Joyce, this is really almost shocking when you look at it, how much the risk of recurrence decreased. I don't think anybody was necessarily expecting it. That doesn't look like a huge difference. But if you look at the numbers, one of the things that we always try to emphasize is the hazard rate, HR. And if I can get my pointer to work down here, you see it. Hazard rate 0.5. What that means is the risk of having metastatic disease is cut in half. A huge bump. Joyce, can you talk a little bit about how the oncologist reacted to this? It looked, as we know from metastatic disease, it seemed that the T-DM1 was well tolerated, perhaps a lot better tolerated than chemotherapy might be. But Joyce, can you comment on the findings of this study?
Yeah, it was a striking result and a very, I think, unexpected result, because T-DM1 is trastuzumab conjugated, chemically attached to a powerful chemotherapy agent, but it's a microtubule targeted agent similar to our taxanes, although it is a different class of drugs, but the same target. So it was remarkably effective. It was an 11% absolute improvement in invasive disease-free survival. So the risk of recurrence of invasive disease, 11%. That was basically in the same order as adding the trastuzumab onto the chemotherapy in the beginning. And I don't think we ever thought we'd see that magnitude of benefit ever again in the HER2 positive, you know, early stage disease. So it was a strikingly positive. And, you know, it changed practice overnight. The results were so strong. It just, anybody with any residual disease in their breast or lymph nodes at surgery automatically gets 14 treatments of the T-DM1 once they recover from their surgery.
So just to be clear, though, in terms of that, what about the patients who have path CRs, Joyce? What's their prognosis? And they typically might get trastuzumab and pertuzumab, for example. What is their prognosis, and why don't they get T-DM1?
The prognosis of women who have a pathologic complete response, path CR, is really very good. Several trials say it's about 93% chance of remaining disease-free, maybe even 90 to 95% chance of remaining disease-free indefinitely. The ER-positive patients may have a bit of a higher risk over time of some recurrence. The ER-negative HER2-positive really probably are sitting at 93 to 95%. The package insert for pertuzumab in the FDA says that if we give the pertuzumab preoperatively, we should give adjuvant pertuzumab after surgery. Sometimes what happens is patients who have a T2 breast cancer, let's say 3 centimeters, clinically node negative, so they're not starting off super high risk and they have a pathological complete response with preoperative trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and chemotherapy. Sometimes the temptation is to stop the pertuzumab postoperatively and just treat with trastuzumab. But the package insert basically says if we start with the pertuzumab, we should continue the pertuzumab. And furthermore, we really care about the long-term systemic effects. The breast is great. It's great to get that Pap CR, but what we really care about is no metastatic disease developing in vital organs over time. And that brings us to the AFFINITY adjuvant trial of trastuzumab and pertuzumab. And there, those patients got a year of the trastuzumab and pertuzumab and had an improvement in their invasive disease-free survival if, again, they were node positive to start off with. So that was node positive disease. The thing about giving the preoperative trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and chemotherapy, we don't really know for sure who is node negative. We can kind of tell who's node positive for sure. You know, you can feel it, you can see it on imaging studies, et cetera, but we don't know for sure who is node negative.
That sort of ties into the next thing that I wanted to mention, because we kind of want to flip through these things so we can talk about these new agents. I'm just going to very briefly comment on this. I think this is what you're alluding to, Joyce, the so-called ATTEMPT trial looking at node negative patients, lower risk patients. We already know that using trastuzumab with paclitaxel seems to be very effective for these low risk patients. Now we have another option, T-DM1. It looks like the benefits were about the same. So you really have seen over the last couple of years, T-DM1 basically coming into the adjuvant setting. We talked about neratinib and the trial that looked at it afterwards. This is what I was talking about. If you look here in the neratinib study, and you see overall on the left, you see that the orange, there are less recurrences in the green and the overall. But all that benefit is in HR-positive patients. So if you look at the HR-positive on the middle, you see a big difference between neratinib and not, and you don't see it for the HR-negative on the right. Looks like we got to put those on that slide, too. And this is what we were talking about, the new approach to preventing diarrhea that seems to be so effective, dose escalation and aggressive use of preventive medications. And we can see that diarrhea then has been much, much lower with this kind of strategy, including discontinuation. I don't want to go through all the details of the cases that we have here today, but Daniel, you have this 56-year-old lady, and she actually went through the entire T-DM1 cycle. She had neoadjuvant therapy, just like we've been talking about, TCHP. She had a lot of residual disease there and ended up getting T-DM1 and then neratinib. Anything you want to say in general about how she tolerated the T-DM1 and neratinib, Daniel?
This patient's currently still on the T-DM1 right now. She's almost finished.
She's
pending cycle 12.
Right.
And she completed cycle 11, but we did notice that her T-Billy's been trending upwards. Because if you actually look at the FDA package insert, it says T-Billy greater than 1.0 to hold it. So this last time she came in last week, her T-Billy was 1.29. So for right now, we actually held it. I'm going to see her, I think, this week. And we're going to recheck her T-Billy level to see if we can move forward with treatment.
Your other case is the one, I got those two confused. This is the 43-year-old lady is the one who already is on neratinib.
Yes.
How did she do with the T-DM1 and neratinib?
She did fine. The neratinib, the main issue with her initially was obviously the diarrhea. But we kind of followed kind of like what the package insert tells us about using the loperamide and the budesonide. And we kind of used those in conjunction together. And initially, she did have a bit of a hard time with the neratinib, but after about a month of treatment, she was able to diarrhea pretty much resolved. And as of right now, she's been on it for quite a few months now without any issue, really. So she's doing pretty good. It was just that initial month is like usually the tough period trying to really get that diarrhea controlled. Once we can get past, hopefully, the first 4 weeks, usually they can continue on to complete therapy.
I want to talk a little bit about management of metastatic disease. And, you know, as you can see, T-DM1 started out in metastatic disease. Now it's in adjuvant therapy. Same thing with pertuzumab. So we'll see whether that happens with some of these new agents.